Welcome to the Positive Communication Show with your host, Matthew Cooper, where crisis meets communication. Join Matthew on the journey of skills, techniques, and wisdom on empowering your communication and enriching your relationships. Matthew has been a student and practitioner of self-help skills and crisis communications for over 20 years. He owns Positive Control Systems, a crisis communication and intervention business, and teaches these skills to parents, teenagers, and professionals. Here is your host, Matthew Cooper.
Joining for the first time. Hello. Thank you so much for entrusting me with your time this evening and those who are coming back for a little bit more. Well, I got some for you. This will be a fun show, I'm sure. Well, for those that have not figured out who I am yet, those who have come for the first time, my name is Matthew Cooper, and yes, this is my show. The Positive Communication name comes from my business, which I call the Positive Control Systems, which also goes as PCS, which for some strange reason, Positive Communication also goes right along with the Positive Control. I teach crisis intervention and communication skills with troubled youth homes across the U.S. I also work with law enforcement, military, former military, as well as even health practitioners and doctors and nurses. So with the communication I do, I also work with parents, so an extra, with working with these numbers of different people, what I've consistently found is that communication is the basis for what makes us different than animals. You may say, well, animals communicate too. Yes, they do. They really do. And yet, even though animals do communicate, I really am not quite sure if animals are able to contemplate their futures, if they're able to communicate a sonnet, say, for example, from Shakespeare, or possibly enjoying music that was created and crafted by someone else who had to have a more advanced form of communication than simply body language and a few grunts and barks. Does it make us better than them? No, it does not. It does give us some awesome rock and roll, though. And so with that communication that we have, communication is all around us. We cannot get away from it. All behavior, everything we do, everything we say, all the clothes we wear. If we have a tattoo, a piercing, you have gray hair, you have no hair, you have a little bit of hair, you have facial hair, anything. Those are all communicating to everyone around you, whether you like it or not. We're like those radio towers. Okay, the radio waves are being transmitted, but they're also being received. We're constantly transmitting information and communicating, and we're also receiving constantly as well. With that being the case, since everyone's communicating, why not learn to be the best communicator you can possibly be? And that's my goal. That's what I've been doing. That's what I've been working on for years. With that understanding that all behavior is communication, that I am the one responsible for this message that's going out there, I decided that I would choose the message that's being given out. One of the reasons for this radio show and this being on the station is that I'm wanting to choose what message is being sent out on communication that I am able to help perpetuate. Now, in working with these troubled youth homes and parents and law enforcement officers and everybody else out there, what I have seen over and over, I just taught a training today, and I'll be teaching, finishing up the training tomorrow, working with a facility for troubled youth homes. It's amazing to me, absolutely amazing, how many things I take for granted about communication. I recognize this a little bit in the past, but I really didn't go that far because I was thinking to myself, holy cow, come on, common sense has to be more common than this, right? It's called common sense for a reason. And yet, as time has passed, I think common sense has kind of been lost to the ages. Common sense isn't so common anymore. The material which I cover with my crisis intervention classes covers a lot of this material with the parents, even more so, because we're dealing with a completely different generation than the parents when they had their kids. and the communication styles of these newer kids is also changed. Why has it changed, do you think? To me, the biggest influence on communication has become technology. Technology. Technology has pushed people away, pulled us farther apart, and yet in the nuanced level, in this small, tiny, almost infinitesimally small areas, has knitted us together into almost like a hive, if you will. Yes, a hive, like an animalistic or even more insect-like hive. We have people that are making these little statements on Facebook, which now perpetuate out, kind of like a chemical trail that the ants or another animal like ants, or excuse me, insect-like ants, would be following. What's going on? Oh, I don't know. Let's find out. Wasting our time in the minutiae. Wasting our time being entertained rather than growing and building and becoming something more. I had a conversation briefly with my son this evening, and he really enjoys playing an online game. It's a team sport, if you want to call it that. An e-sport is what the name they give it, where you're now working with a group of people to be able to achieve objectives, playing one team against another in a combat online game. And the funny thing is there are people out there that say, oh, games like that are so horrible. They're not building you for a better life. And yet, how many people out there play fantasy football? And how is that actually helping you build a better life? So don't go over there, as my grandfather would say, a pot calling the kettle black. You're both just as guilty. However, what I'm asking a question of my son, not telling him what to do, not at all. Instead, I ask him, hey, bud, what are you doing to grow and build in your life? What are you doing to improve yourself so that your life is better tomorrow than it was today? He had a hard time answering that. He did not know what to say to that. Of course, there's the canned answer that many times kids will say, well, I'm just wasting my life, right? No, I never said that.
Well, I could be doing something better with my time.
Did I say that? No, I ask a question. I asked, what are you doing to improve your life? What are you doing to better yourself every day? Especially since he spends 2, 3, or more hours a day on this computer playing his game with his friends. And that's fine. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's not okay. What I am saying is if you're going to do that, there needs to be balance. We need to be able to have more. Because, as I mentioned, all behavior is communication. If you're doing this in one area of your life, what other area are you neglecting in order to have that fun, if you want to call it that, that distraction, that entertainment? What else are you doing to balance out that practice? If you're not doing anything, you're sitting in front of the TV for hours and hours a day watching. I don't care if it's Netflix or I don't care if it's a prime time TV. I don't care. Conan O'Brien or Conan whatever. I don't even watch it. I just hear about it occasionally. I don't care if you're watching the David Letterman show in the evenings, if he even does it anymore. I don't know. If you are spending all of these hours in front of the TV, what are you doing to grow who you are? How are you becoming a better person, more of who you are? And you can ask me, well, what are you doing? I said, okay, fair question. Going back to the words of Mahatma Gandhi, that we must become the change we want to see in the world. What am I doing? Well, as I said today, I taught these individuals how to better communicate, also some physical skills. I have also done some leather working today, working on studying the Tlingit, as the T-L-I-N-G-I-T. They're a Pacific Northwest tribe, the Tlingit art and their artifacts. They're the ones that made a lot of these totem poles you see. And I'm practicing and training myself to be able to carve that into leather. You dampen the leather first. They call it casing it. And then you use what's called a swivel knife, which is almost a wedge-shaped blade. Not super sharp, but definitely sharp enough to cut wet leather. And it has almost a U-shaped saddle that swivels on the top of this little construct, now allowing you to make circles and do so. When I first got a hold of the swivel knife, it was very, very challenging to use. I got frustrated very quickly and didn't want to use it. So I decided I would fix that, and I would use something else. That something else was another craft knife, which I use, and I used that instead to carve into the leather. And I got great results. I was pretty happy. After I did that for a while, I went back to the swivel knife, and wow, the skills I learned with the other one made it so much easier to work with the swivel knife, where now I'm a big fan of the swivel knife. Yes, I've been doing that today. I'll be posting pictures on Facebook where you can look at it and say, oh, you're playing with that today? I said, yes, this is what I'm doing today. What else have I been doing? Well, other than working with my kids, taking care of my business, contacting, working with clients, and then after this radio show, I'll probably do some exercising. So what am I doing? Even if it's just a small step, I am taking a step and building myself each day. If you're taking at least a small step, good on you. Awesome. Keep up the fantastic work. However, if you're not, ask yourself, what are you communicating to those around you? What are you doing to be better? Are you stuck in that crevasse? Are you stuck in that hole that you've been in, unable to move, unable to get out of that rut where you're seemingly unable to get out no matter what you do? Well, my question is, what are you doing to get out? And I'm asking this question honestly, not in a way of being able to say, you are wrong. No, instead, I'm looking at you and saying, my friend, I have been in that situation. I recognized where I was and where I have been, and even some places where I still am. I have been able to kick myself and have people that I care about help pull me out onto the flat road and say, there's a direction. Where do you choose? And I was able to start walking and make some changes in my life. I know it wasn't the beginning of the year. It was before that, actually. You know, how at the new year, oh, I'm going to make all these changes and nothing happens. Well, not that way. Not that way at all. The question is, what are you doing to change your life and become better? Doesn't matter how old you are or how young, how rich or poor, good looking or not, skilled or not. Skill comes from practice, repetition, and making an effort. If you're not doing any of those, what are you doing? Life is about growth. Life is about progress. Even if it's just thinking about these things, at least get the juices flowing. Think about that over the break, which is coming up here in just a few moments. Stick around on OTR.FM.
You're listening to OTR.FM. Part of the IOM Radio Network.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
The name is Bond. James Bond.
No, the name is Joe. The Joe Show. And we are returning back for our ninth season here on OM Times Radio. So tune in every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on OMTimes.com/mobile. You can take us wherever you go. Yeah!
Do you want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on OM Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Matthew Cooper with the Positive Communications Show on OTR.FM. Right before the break, I was talking about not quite the New Year's resolution. What I was mentioning, though, is the changes which we can affect on ourselves. And what are we doing to become better? You hear about these self-help people, the late Wayne Dyer, for example. Wonderful, wonderful man. And his great work that he did. We've got Bob Proctor out there doing a great work. We have Anthony Robbins, who's also doing great stuff out there. Oh, I'm making a tremendous change for so many people. Being able to work with other individuals like Brian Tracy or Maxwell Maltz. Maxwell Maltz wrote a book called Psycho-Cybernetics, back in 1960. And that book, it was one of the first true self-help. This is how your brain works. This is how you can begin changing what you're doing and make a difference. I mean, really great stuff. These pioneers, as well as those who have taken it upon themselves to make a difference in the lives of so many. Have they become successful for it? Yes, they have. And there's anything wrong with that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. All behavior, once again, is communication. They are doing something to become better and to change the lives of so many and improve it when they are ready. Yes, change is something that we need to be ready for. And it's not physically ready necessarily, it's mentally ready. Something that I have fought in the past. Something I'm sure I fight to this day. I'm sure all of us fight in one way, shape, or form. Why don't I exercise more? I could be exercising for 5.5 hours every day. I really could. I simply look at what's the outcome. Whoa, I'm not looking at that kind of outcome. I don't want that outcome. Oh, so I don't want to go and exercise 5.5 hours a day for a reason, because I am not that much in love with the outcome of having this beautiful, sculpted, perfect body. That's right. I have a couple more things to do with my time. So I'm okay with being strong enough, having a decent enough cardio, being able to move very well. With my martial skills, I'm a martial artist for over 30 years, and the martial arts that I do practice is a combat martial system rather than something that you will see in a gym where you're going to be fighting in a ring. That's not combat. Combat is there is no rules. Anything goes, and he who wins is the one who goes home, or is able to go home, I should say. That's what I look for. That's why I want to be able to have those skills to be able to protect my family. Once again, that's communicating. What's it communicating? It's communicating that I find that all the messages I'm sending, I want those to be able to send the message that don't mess with me, don't touch my family, and we'll be fine. We'll be happy to be friends. You just be nice and happy to me, and I'll be nice and happy to you. Along that nice and happy idea, I was working with my clients today, and we got into a discussion, one of my absolutely favorite discussions, actually, about trust. All too many people get caught up in this idea of trust. Well, don't you trust me? No, I don't trust you. Why not? I'm not a bad person. I'm a great person. Have you ever had that happen before you? Have you ever had it happen? If you're having that happen to you more than once or twice a week, there's an issue in the way that you're communicating with people. They should not be asking you if you trust them. They should be able to tell how you treat them and how you act. Or the person is attempting to manipulate you. That's also a good possibility. And I say, yes, I trust you. Really? Absolutely. I trust you to be exactly who you are. What? That's not really much of an answer for them. And yet, to me, it's the best answer I could possibly give. I choose, backing up just a little bit, I choose to be able to accept people for how they are rather than tolerate them for what they're doing. People have talked about tolerance, making sure that we can tolerate people. Well, look what tolerance gets frogs if they get turned up 1 degree at a time with the water they're in. That tolerance eventually leads to their death. Look what happens to tolerance when you use a pressure cooker. You can only have so much pressure before you have to let some steam off, or else it will explode. When we choose to tolerate the effects of others, the behaviors of others, the attitudes of others, who they are, what their sexual orientation, their gender orientation, whatever it may be, when we choose to tolerate their actions rather than accepting and loving them, we are building resistance. We are building a constant resistance against their choices, the individuals, the people, the groups. I don't care if it's your political party. I don't care if it's your religion or your religious group, which you're affiliated with. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is that you are focusing on in a negative way, you will get more of. I believe it was Mother Teresa who said, "Do not invite me, or I will not go to an anti-war rally. However, please invite me, and I'll be happy to go to a peace rally." Because when you stand against something, you get more of it. When you stand for something, you get more of it. What you choose to focus on. And the same goes with the tolerance versus acceptance. When we tolerate somebody's actions, we are constantly holding a grudge, a desire, or a resistance to push against that person. We are not having an acceptance and allowing them to be who they are, which is why I say I trust everyone. I trust them to be who they are. Instead of saying, oh, wait, you're a Muslim? Oh, you can't be good. You're a bad person. I say, no, I trust you to be who you are. I know about your religion. I know about your scriptures. And now your actions will tell me who and how you are. The same goes for Latinos, Hispanics, etc. Okay. I have friends that are Latinos. I speak Spanish. And so to me, I don't care if this person has come over here, what they say, legally or illegally. That's going to catch up to them in time, and they're either going to get the benefits or they're not. Okay. I accept them for who they are and how they are. If you have black skin, great. I have a black gay friend who is overweight, and he is awesome. His name is Cooper. Yes, the same name I have for last name, but that's his first name. Cooper, he is so awesome. It's over at the place I go for karaoke on Sunday nights every once in a while. And I walk in, Coop, dude, what's you doing? Oh, honey, come here. Give me a hug. And he is awesome. I love the guy, okay? I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care what your gender orientation is. I don't care what your religion is. I don't care what your gender is. What I care about is how you treat me and my family and those that are important to me. I care if you are making a change in the world to make this world a better place. I care for all of these things. Whether or not you may look like everyone else around you or act like that, I don't care. It does not bother me. It is not my job to tell you where to put your genitals, how you are to love, or who you are to love in this world. It is not for me to tell you which God you can believe in, whether we're looking at Gaia, we're looking at Vishnu, we're looking at Brahma, we're looking at, we're looking at Allah, or any of the other gods or beliefs out there. I don't care. How do you treat me? How do you treat your fellow beings? How do you treat animals? How do you treat small children? To me, the way a person treats small children and small animals, or even animals in general, is a good indicator of the kind of person that they are. Why? Oftentimes when someone meets those, and it's around those kinds of individuals and beings, whether dogs, cats, or people, they begin to show different parts of themselves subconsciously. They're either very guarded, which means they're not being who they truly are, or they're putting on this great show, which also gives off little bits of information, body language, the nuances. Either way, it doesn't matter because it's just showing who you are. You're becoming more of who you truly are because I trust you to be who you are. And with that tolerance versus acceptance, it is a big piece of how I teach people to communicate and to get along. Parents. Oh, man, parents are huge that way. Parents, being a parent myself, I have 5 kids that live with me. My 5 kids, my oldest being just turned 20. My youngest will turn 11 this month. And with that, it comes down to, do I accept them for who they are and how they are? If they choose a partner or boyfriend, girlfriend based on something different than what I would choose for myself, am I going to get upset? Am I going to tell them you can't do that? Do I try and force them into a mold which I have for them? And the answer is no. I love them and accept them for who they are and how they are. Do I encourage them to be better? Absolutely. Just because you accept them does not mean you agree with them. Just because you accept them does not mean you do not have aspirations for something better for them. And just because you accept them does not mean that you like them. That's part of also a conversation I had today. I don't like my ex-wife. Do I accept her? Yes. I don't tolerate her. I accept her. And I do bring her up every once in a while in my shows. And the reason why is because I want people to understand that just because I accept her doesn't mean that I like her. And it doesn't mean that I have to have a bad feeling about her, nor do I have to talk negatively about her. She has made her choices. She seems to be doing well. She seems happy. She got married in October. Great. Good for her. That is the same thing everybody out there is doing. They're trying to find their own brand of happiness. It doesn't have to be the same as everyone else's. It is so important for you, though, to find that happiness. I believe it's Neil Donald Walsh in The Secret, if you watch the movie The Secret with Neil Donald Walsh. He talked about finding that happiness, finding your bliss. He says, if you find your bliss eating a pastrami sandwich, then do it. If you find it going to church, then do it. He talks about finding your bliss. Find what makes you happy, what brings you that joy. It doesn't matter if it's going and hiking in the middle of the woods, going to a church service for 15 hours in a day. It doesn't matter if it's going fishing or scuba diving or sitting and meditating. It doesn't matter if it's any of those or reading a book. I love books. I love reading. To me, finding your bliss, whatever it is, allows us to enjoy this life which we have. Why cannot people understand that? Why cannot they not understand that life is about bliss, not about being ornery, not about being stressed, not about being upset and angry and frustrated? It's about being happy. And to get that, that takes work. Oh, man, lots of work. So what do? How do you find that bliss? How is that possible? You mean we can actually make choices in our lives? We can actually make a difference in the choices we make each and every day? How do we do that? How? Ooh, wait a second. How? That's a question, right? I teach how to ask questions. Who, what, when, where, why, and how? Because when you ask a question, you get your brain thinking. So the quality of the questions you ask can have a very big impact on the life that you're living. If you ask yourself poor questions, you can get a poor answer. If you ask yourself good questions, more often than not, you can get good questions from answers, good answers from questions. Think about that over the break. Chat with you.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM-FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Woohoo! All right, more good information. We were talking about, right before the break, about the questions that we ask. What kind of questions do we ask? Good questions or poor questions? Well, aren't all questions the same? That depends. Are you asking them with an intent for you to be growing and becoming better? Or are you asking them to perpetuate the misery and the loneliness, the pain and the problems you have in your life? Oh, how could you? You're so callous. How could you say things like that about me? I didn't. You did. You're the one that does. I'm asking a question. You're the one that has to take it and say, oh, he's talking about me. Well, if I am, then if the shoe fits, think about it. If you're getting defensive about me asking questions like that, then maybe you're guilty. Did I say you're bad? Nope. I'm not going to make a value judgment against you. I don't know you. I don't know if you're good or bad or indifferent. I don't know if you smell like old cheese. I don't know if you smell like an old goat. I don't know if you smell like fresh cut oranges. I have no idea. Okay? None. It doesn't matter. It's about you and your choices. But the direction that you want to take with your life, not mine. And so by asking yourself these questions, you can make a difference. Well, how shall we ask the questions? How? Who, what, when, where, why, and how? There is a great little poem. I'll read part of it or recite part of it rather than the whole thing, by Rudyard Kipling, called The Elephant's Child. And part of it goes, I have six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. What do these questions do for us? Well, what these questions do for us is they allow us to get more information when we ask. Whether it's someone else, hey, how was your day? It was pretty good. What made it so good? What? Okay. Oh, I had an awesome donut today. I feel really good about day. Coffee and a donut, great way to start a day. I agree. That sounds fantastic. Well, where did you buy that donut at? Oh, local supermarket. Yeah, they had it right there, the corner with the coffee shop right there. Oh, okay. See what I'm doing? I'm asking questions to get what we call a narrative response. I'm wanting you to answer me with more than a yes or a no question. We call it open or closed-ended questions. Okay, open-ended is giving a narrative or giving more information than yes or yes or no, whereas binary or a closed-ended is usually yes or no. Boom. Hey, you feeling good today? Yes. Are you? Yes. Where is the question there? Who, what, when, where, why, or how? If you're not asking for the information, chances are people don't give it. And if they do give it, they just kind of vomit it out. Blah. Oh, I'm feeling so horrible today. My gout isn't really acting up. And oh, my body odor is just really, I mean, they're going to unload on you because of the problems they're having in their life. They may need someone to just talk to. Okay, it could be the case. I've got a buddy that has gout, so I came to my mind. Other people, yeah, foot odor. Oof. My son, after he gets back from doing his dancing, he does a Latin ballroom. Wearing those shoes for that long, oof, they get rank. So I just throw them together. And yet, what do we do? Asking ourselves the questions. How do we do this? What I have found has worked best for me, absolutely best for me, is I love to meditate. I need to do it more. However, when I do it, it is bliss to me. I have learned to meditate over the years, and the practices I use, which are very simple, they are, I won't say unique to me. However, our brains, when we have something we do with regularity, it allows us to then be able to do those things more effectively and efficiently. Running, walking, doing exercises, etc. Well, for me, getting into that meditative state has become so easy for me. Yeah, of course, after we haven't done it for a while, it may take a moment or two to get back into it, like jumping on a bicycle, finding where it's comfortable, okay, pedaling. Oh, balance is there. Good. We're good to go. Being able to get over. I have a buckwheat hull pillow that I sit on. That helps to give me about the right amount of height when I sit on it. And I'm able to sit there, focus on my breathing, begin calming my mind, and then after a few minutes, boom, dropping down nice and relaxed. What's nice about that is from that nice, relaxed mindset, I can now ask questions. It's as if you have, at least from my perspective, we've removed the walls surrounding our mind between the conscious and the subconscious. And if we ask a question, The conscious mind is quieted and the subconscious is given a voice. We can now receive information. We don't know if this is only our imagination giving this to us. We don't. Honestly, if I get good advice, I don't really care if it's my imagination or what. If I'm getting good advice, I'm great with it. Some people may say, well, that's your spirit speaking to you. I can agree with that. I can say yes. I can really be on board with that. Some may call it the id, and some may call it whatever else. I don't really care. I just know that with that perspective, I can now ask myself questions, and I get some awesome answers. I'm asking great questions, though, too. Have you ever been told or asked a question by a parent or a loved one? Why do you keep doing this? Why do you keep screwing up? How come you're acting this way? That happened to you? I think it's happened to all of us. I don't blame my parents. I look at them and say they're doing the best they can with what they had. They didn't have the skills I have today. They did not do the research that I have done to this day. And I continually wow them with how much I'm able to keep changing and evolving as a parent, as a communicator, in doing what I do. I just saw them a couple days ago. It was great to see them. They're doing pretty well. And because of that, the questions which I ask, some may say, well, what do you mean asking good questions versus bad questions? Our parents, when they ask those questions, they're not building questions. They actually get us thinking, well, why do we keep doing this? Why are we such a bad person? Why are we doing these negative things in our lives? And the cool part about the brain, and also the scary part, is it will come up with an answer for why. If you ask yourself, if you're not even having any issues with your weight, if you ask yourself, well, why am I so fat? Do you think your brain will give you an answer? Yeah. It will. If you ask, why am I so dumb? Does your brain give you an answer? Even just me voicing that question, my sense of self recoils, like, ah, you're not dumb. That's right. Because I've asked myself enough smart questions to where I've convinced myself I'm smart. And I get smart answers in return. Your brain, you've heard of GIGO, right? G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. What you put in, you get out. You ask yourself negative questions, you're going to have negative experiences. You're going to have negative things happen to you constantly in your life. Why? Because you are telling your brain, hey, nothing works, life sucks, I'm not happy. Oh, okay, cool. If that's what you want, I'll be happy to give it to you. All right, guys, brain, give them some crap, okay? And they're going to start churning out the garbage and the crap that you are trying to avoid. You say you're trying to avoid, and yet you are calling for it with every question you ask yourself. And if good things are happening and you're starting to turn your life around, did you change the nature of your questions? Interesting. I've noticed that when I've changed my life, and I've noticed these shifts happen every once in a while, paradigm shifts, I realized, I started asking different questions. I could say better questions. However, I'll just say different for now. Because who's to say if they're better or not? I just know they're different. I like to say more effective questions. And with these more effective questions, am I getting the results that I'm wanting? Yeah, I am. Okay, so keep doing it. If it's not broke, don't fix it. Okay, if it's working for you, then keep doing it. Improve it, refine it, make it better. If it's not working, then change it until it is. This is what our lives are about. Okay? Man's Search for Meaning, a book by, was it Mendel? Alfred Mendel? I have to double check on the guy's name. He was a Jewish gentleman who was a prisoner of war. Auschwitz, I think he was also, and a couple other different ones. I read his book. Wonderful, wonderful book. A book that makes you really question humanity and the way that we view our lives. What are our lives? What's going on with them? What's happening with them? Okay? And how can we change our lives? What questions are we asking? by the nature of our questions, which is in this book here by Viktor Frankl, excuse me, not Mendel, Frankl, my apologies, A Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor E. Frankl. The questions that Viktor asked himself, because he was a psychologist, the questions that he asked himself are what allowed him to come to the realization of the ability that he has to change his life. Now, I really like the way that he was expressing this. He says, we may not be able to change the circumstances we are in, because, come on, he's in a concentration camp, a death camp, expecting to be killed at any time, living under the constant threat, becoming so numb eventually to the horrors around him that it became commonplace. With Mr. Viktor Frankl going through this, he recognized, I can't change all of this by having this happy outcome, as happy, I'm going to be positive. Positive affirmation is going to get me out of here. No. It does not change where you are at. What it does change is how you think, and can change how you feel about what is happening. By understanding that we have the ability to change how we feel about something, the ability to change how we think, which then changes the answers that we're getting when we ask ourselves questions, we can then begin to take steps to change our lives. One of the big challenges I'm hearing about more recently, I have a lot of friends that are veterans, myself being a veteran, and then hearing about it's heartbreaking to me of how many veterans are committing suicide on a regular basis. And how this generation, these are not old. These are not old 50, 60-year-old individuals. These are younger guys who have sustained wounds or just having the psychological trauma of their PTSD, their post-traumatic stress disorder. With that, having that in their mind of, I can't change, I can't do anything, nothing is getting better. Do you think those questions they're asking are helping them? Or are they hurting them? How can we tell the difference? Think about that. We'll talk more after the break in just a moment.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hi, this is Angela Levesque, host of Entanglement Radio. Join me Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science and conscious healing. Entanglement Radio, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Transcendent talk for the conscious mind.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio, every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
People have and the questions they ask themselves, and does that actually make a difference? especially with our veterans, and how so many of them are committing suicide, unfortunately. That's hard. It's extremely hard. And the questions, we also mentioned a little bit about Viktor Frankl and the book, A Man's Search for Meaning, that he wrote, and the issues and the challenges he had in Auschwitz in the different concentration camps, and how he said that the questions he asked himself helped him to change his mindset, the way that he thought, the way that he acted. Not necessarily changing where he was. I mean, you can have as positive mental attitude as you want. You're still stuck in a death camp. Come on. And yet he decided he would make a change. I came across a little video about a gentleman. His name is Travis Mills. He is a military veteran. He is one of a small group of quadruple amputees. Quadruple. No arms, no legs. Let's just say no hands and not much for legs. And as a matter of fact, his arms are pretty much gone. He has nubs. He's still alive, though. He's alive. And the story I saw about him was because he had an optimistic outlook on life. Was he kind of upset at first? Oh, yeah. Who wouldn't be? Who wouldn't be? Losing all of your arms and all of your legs? What do you have? To some, you have nothing. To some, you may have nothing. Others, he actually had something. And part of that was his family. He felt frustrated because of his little baby girl. He can't even hug her. How can he be a father when he can't even pick her up or hug her? Well, he realized there's more to life than just being able to, quote unquote, pick her up and hug her. His wife, what a tremendous woman. Supporting him, living with that and loving him, and working with him and helping to keep him strong and helping to get him to where he is able to be where he is now. Do I credit his wife with a lot of this? Absolutely, I do. Tremendous woman. His little girl, she doesn't know dad being any different. That's what's beautiful about children. They don't have the preconceived notions. They don't tolerate. They accept. They accept wholeheartedly. They accept it completely. They accept whatever is in front of them. That's also a challenge, is that when hardships occur, they adapt the fastest, and they also can be affected the most over the years too. So it is a challenge both ways. However, with this Mr. Travis Mills, he has one prosthetic hand that he can actually rotate. And he was talking about how he uses that, and now he can actually hold his daughter's hand as he walks. He has two prosthetic legs he walks on, and the other hand, or other arm, I should say, because he doesn't have much except for the shoulder. He has a special prosthetic, a hook essentially, that he can now, using his muscles, flexing them a certain way, be able to get the hook to move. It's more, shall we say, primitive and not as technologically advanced as other prosthetic that rotates. However, he can squeeze, he can grab, he can do a few things with that arm and that hand, and that gives him some additional connection, if you will. It shows a picture here of himself with his wife and his little girl, probably only a year, year and a half old, holding on to dad's prosthetic hand. That's dad. That is dad to her. It is not a crippled man, because he's not crippled. He's dad. We have a tremendous ability to accept based on our questions that we ask in our own heads. We can have positive choices. We can have positive statements we make. We can have ones which bolster and strengthen us. We can have questions which we ask which will benefit us by being able to give us the feedback that we need to stay strong. We can ask ourselves the questions which will be able to embolden us to take a new step into a positive direction in our lives, to give us the courage that we need. And those same words of who, what, when, where, why, and how can also deliver the nails in the proverbial coffin, which prevent us from going any further because we're nailed in. We have boxed ourselves in with our own fears and our own thoughts. How would those be? Give me some examples. Okay. Why does this always happen to me? Why can't I find any friends? Why do people treat me this way? Why haven't I gotten a raise in years? Why does my boss not like me? Why can't I seem to ever find any good friends? Why can't I find a good partner to live with? Why does it always, the bad stuff always happen to me? And if not one, multiple things every day. Why does it keep doing it every single day? Every single day? Those kind of questions that I was just voicing, which I thankfully do not espouse at all. Those are the ones that cripple you mentally and emotionally. They cripple you into not believing that you can do more and be more. How would you ask good questions? How would you be able to boost yourself, adding to your life? Well, one of the things I found that does that is more than just the questions you ask, which is part, and we'll cover that too. It's also gratitude. Gratitude. Yeah, being thankful for something. Well, I don't have anything to be thankful for. Well, honestly, sucks to be you. If you're not grateful for clean air to breathe, oh, I'm coughing all the time. Okay, how much are you coughing? The water you drink, is it clean enough? Is it muddy? Is it gritty because of the dirt in it? If it's not, that's something to be thankful for. Can you see? Yes or no? Most of us, yes. Can you hear? If you're listening to this, chances are yes. Can you walk? Can you touch things with your hands? Can you talk? Do you have people that love you? And if you don't, what can you do to begin changing that? These are things to be thankful for, to have the gratitude for. That gratitude, that attitude of gratitude tends to spread. And it spreads this positive feeling. When I mentioned asking questions of yourself and then being able to have this mindset, there's also the statements. Not positive affirmations, no. It's primal statements that can change how you think. Telling yourself something over and over. I have a nice little mala, a Tibetan prayer beads of, I think they're ebony. Love those. I've been using them for years and years as a meditation aid. And one of the things I found, there's a great book called Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends on It. I don't have the author's name right now. However, you look on Amazon, you can find the ebook, Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends on It. And our life does depend on us loving ourselves. If we don't love ourselves, how can we love anyone else? And even more so, if we want to have a happy life, to me, part of that stems from being able to love yourself and be happy with yourself. If you don't love yourself first, how can you have happiness? You're not in a space to accept happiness. So by being able to have that love for yourself, that to me is a crucial point, that if you can reach that and you can make that change from there, it's a tipping point for happiness and for a better life. You can change what you do. You can become better. You can become, as Mahatma Gandhi said, the change you wish to see in the world. That has been one of my favorite quotes for nearly the past decade. We must become, or we choose to become, the change we wish to see in the world. If we want to see something in this world, we have to be the ones that go out and get it and do it. If we're sitting and waiting for it to come to us, we're going to be waiting a very, very long time. Yes, stranger things have been known to happen. You could get struck by lightning sitting where you are, wherever you are. The question is it possible or is it probable? Possible meaning can it happen? Yes. Probable, what are the odds? And so when we're talking about asking ourselves these right questions, and it may just come to you, and you don't have to do anything for it, well, that's possible. It is not very probable, though. And so if you want to ask yourself a question, a positive question, like, for example, how can I get into better shape? Ooh, what a great question. Your mind can say, well, you can begin exercising. Well, what kind of exercise would be best to start with? Well, how about marching in place? Oh, there's an exercise we do with my Marshall system when we're injured or we're unable to do a full regimen of more strenuous exercises, or if we don't want to do strenuous exercise, we just want to have a general level of physical, shall we say, physical ability, all right? That is what we call, it's a marching exercise. We will march in place and we'll breathe deep, hold it for a few seconds, and breathe out again and repeat that. Breathe in. And we found that, excuse me, with that kind of an exercise, the lymphatic fluids in our body changes. We are able to also not only the lymphatic fluids move, but we're also able to have other wonderful things such as oxygen going into our system. And there is so much oxygen in our system that we're able to start burning more heat or burn more fat. Yes, burn fat. I start to sweat and I know I'm getting some good exercise. I'll do other exercises too, but that is a wonderful, wonderful exercise. It's so simple that we can do. A simple thing. Ask yourself the good questions and you'll get good answers. Ask yourself poor questions and you will get poor answers. As I mentioned just a few moments ago, it's like what Mahatma Gandhi said, that we must become the change we want to see in the world. We need to make those differences because no one will make them for us. Until we choose to make that difference on our own, nothing will change. You can do this. I believe in you. I know you have the power. We'll catch you next time.